All right, first I want to welcome you to the Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track session. My name is Mike Truitt. I'm a senior product planner at Microsoft. I own this program and the private cloud strategy. I'll be presenting with Brian Cerasi. He's the technical brains of this program. He keeps me honest as far as what we can and can't do from a technical perspective. I am in marketing, so I tend to want to do more than he's willing to go forth with the technology. So I'm probably one of the few people in the history of PowerPoint presentations that actually speaks to their first slide. And I do it for two reasons. The first reason is I always like to call out the fact that this is Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track. When this program started about 18 months ago, and we'll talk more about that in just a little bit, it was called the Hyper-V Private Cloud Fast Track Program. Now, it started out being Hyper-V, but we quickly learned that cloud is a lot more than just virtualization. Virtualization is a very important piece, absolutely, undeniably. But there is also a management piece that is crucial to making a private cloud. NIST definitions include management and elasticity, the things like that, in the definition of a private cloud. So we looked at this program and said, we really can't call it Hyper-V because that is not telling the whole story of this product. This product is really about the entire solution. It's about the compute, the network, the storage, yes, the hypervisor, but also the management solution. Before I go to the next slide, the other reason I like to talk this first slide is it's not often that I get to put my name up in lights in Amsterdam, so I do like to leave it up a little while because I get to have my name up there. All right, quick on the agenda. I won't spend too much time here. Just to give you an overview of the session, I'm going to start out for about the first 25 minutes or so, giving you the high-level overview of how Microsoft sees private cloud, how the Fast Track program fits into this, and how our partners help us and enable us in the ecosystem. Brian is going to come up here and give you the technical aspects of the program, tell you how we make the design decisions, tell you what goes into creating guidance that we then hand off to partners. And then he's going to give you a look at all the partner solutions using System Center 2012 that are in market today. These are physical solutions. These are things you can go get today. And then he's going to give you a couple demos. We added a new one to this session, so we're hoping it works well. And then I'll come up at the end and give the wrap-up portion. So that's kind of the high level of what a lot of words are saying up here. So what is Fast Track? I've got to fall back on some of my history here. I've been at Microsoft 14 years. In two more days, it'll be my 14-year anniversary. I've heard say that Microsoft is, 1 year at Microsoft is like dog years. It's 7 years anywhere else. I'm not sure that's the case because I don't feel that old. But before I was at Microsoft, I was a high school history teacher. And part of being a history teacher is you always tell your students what you want them to learn. We talk about it, and then we wrap up with pretty much the same thing. So I fall back on my roots as being a history teacher. And so we talk about the fast facts of Private Cloud Fast Track, is what are the things I really want you to understand. First, Fast Track is really nothing scary. Compute, network, and storage. I'm sure you all have that. You've all used it. You all understand what it is. You've got your servers. You've got your networking. You've got your storage. It's a hypervisor and it's management. There's nothing, nothing really scary there. It's a validated design. This is what Brian's going to talk about. It is a design that we at Microsoft sit down with what I term three different constituents. We use what I call the voice of the customer, your voice. We use that by going to our MCS or Microsoft Consulting Services and say, what are the customers asking you for? So first we take into account in the program, what is it the customer wants to buy and wants to do? The second thing, we do the voice of the business. That's where my role comes in, is what is it that we can sell? How do we light up the Microsoft features to make a great solution for you? And the last is the voice of the technology, and that's where I rely on Brian, is what is it that we can build? How do we utilize those technologies to their fullest? So we use all of those voices to create a validated design, and then we go and work with the partners. We take the smartest people at Microsoft that know our technologies better than probably anyone else in the world, because guess what? We write them. We do the same thing with those hardware partners. We go out and work with those hardware partners. We take the best and the brightest from the hardware partners, and we, because they're the ones making the hardware, and we put them in a room with our Microsoft people and say, create a cloud, a private cloud, that customers can deploy quickly, that's already validated, that we have worked together to build, not just the compute network storage, but also that whole layer of software on top of it, all together. That's that middle box. And last, I've heard a lot of people say reference architecture, and I used to be a storage architect inside Microsoft, and when I heard reference architecture, I always cringe. While I do create a reference architecture inside Microsoft, what you purchase is not a piece of paper. This is a reference design, or I would call it a reference implementation, to use an industry standard term. It is a physical solution. If you go and buy a Dell VSTART 1000, which was announced 2 weeks ago, it's an actual physical solution. You buy a HP Virtual System 3, which there is one down on the show floor, it's an actual solution. You buy a FlexPod, which can be demoed down on the floor from NetApp, you buy an actual solution. These are physical implementations. We're not asking you to go buy a piece of paper. That's not the program. I always hit the business before technology in my talks because I'll tell a couple stories today. When I work with customers, one of the things in even being a storage architect is that we don't want blinky lights anymore. It's not the Toys R Us or the, you know, data centers R Us of the 90s where you could put in hardware then wait to see what it would do. You need something that solves a business problem. I'll give you a case in point. I was talking with a customer, and they were asking me all these technical questions, and I could field them. And I'm in a room with about four sales guys, and they probably won't ask me back. I'm in a room with about four sales guys, and the executives for this company are going, "Do you have this feature? Do that feature? Yeah, that feature." And I'm answering, "Yes, we have that." And I finally said, "Hold on. These are C-level guys, you know, CTOs, CXOs." I'm going, "You're asking the wrong questions." And I swear my sales guys all probably had heart attacks at that moment. They all went silent. And the execs look at me and said, "You're asking the wrong question." They're going, "What do you mean?" And I said, "It's my bet that at your level, you don't want to know what technologies I have in my solution. It's my bet you want to know whether I can save you money or make you money. You have IT implementers that are going to test out all of the features, but it's my bet that at your level, you want to know what business problem I can solve for you." And all these execs kind of look around the table and said, "Yeah, actually, you know, we do have a business problem." And so that's where we turn the discussion. And that, for me, is business before technology. So these things, very rarely, when you sell a fast track, and we've got a slide with a couple case studies coming up, they very rarely go into what I'll call a greenfield, where there's nothing else there. They're there to be integrated. You've got to have Active Directory integration. You've got to have your workload coming over. It's not there to be blinking lights. While virtualization may have solved a lot of problems, I can tell you firsthand from my storage background, it also created problems. New ones. Is when you used to be able to walk down that server line and go, "Ooh, amber light. Take that disk out, throw in a new one. Oh, server's on fire. Get that rid of that one." Now, where are your VMs? Are they sitting on a drive that's about ready to go amber? You don't know. Are they going through an HBA that's having problems? Good question. Or did they possibly migrate across some geopolitical boundary that may not have been a good idea? Your problems with management are new, and so that integration is key to what your environment looks like and where these things go. I just set up my second bullet. Your complexity is tamed with System Center. System Center has the ability now and in the past to really manage that multi-VM environment. With FastTrack, we require our partners to create management packs. Brian will talk about this further. We don't only manage what I'll call the software environment, the VM environment. We also manage what's going at that hardware layer. With the management packs, if there's a problem, let's say that HBA, operations manager is notified in this solution. Ops manager then submits a ticket to service manager. Service manager can have a couple things. You can either submit the ticket and notify you, or our partners have done a fantastic job of integration and automation, and they're building out solutions with either PowerShell or Orchestrator where they'll fix that problem on the fly. If it's a problem that is known, they may redirect your traffic off that HPA through MPIO, go somewhere else. That's the kind of complexity that can be tamed with System Center. And last, solving real business problems. And that's why I started with that example, is that this is here to solve a business problem. This is not here to be blinky lights. So how does this all fit in Microsoft's private cloud strategy? So Fast Track is a piece of Microsoft's strategy. It's not the whole thing. So we really have three types of private cloud. From the way you are looking at the screen, it's going to be the upper left-hand corner is what I'll call our do-it-yourself guides. Is if you want to go create these private clouds, in fact, we're going to be producing the version that is out in market today based on System Center 2012. We're just coming to market via TechNet in the next week or two with those design guides. They're just going through the last bit of editing and legal review right now. If you want to create these clouds, I welcome it. What I will say is that probably the most utilized resource in your environment, probably not the disks, it's going to be your IT people. I have never seen an IT admin have what I'll call bench time, where they can sit around and do nothing and say, okay, we're going to have that IT guy on bench. I've never seen that. IT admins are incredibly stretched, and that's where I welcome the idea of the do-it-yourself, but why not let Microsoft, just like I said before, take the smartest people on the Microsoft software who built the software and let them develop that software environment? Why not let the smartest people at the hardware company, that company that you have the preferred contract with? I've got nine companies that are in the Fast Track program today. That company that has more knowledge of their hardware than anyone else, why not let us take all of that time and that build time away from your IT implementers and let you focus on your core business? That would be my story over there. But with that said, do-it-yourself is definitely, it's very flexible, but your time to solution, I can almost guarantee, is going to be a little bit longer than being able to go call up Dell, HP, Fujitsu, NEC, EMC, you name it, Cisco, and say, I want one of these things. Can you send it to me? I can guarantee that's going to be a quicker time. On the upper right-hand corner, that's really our hosted or service provider solutions. Now, I know it's a little of a misnomer saying that, hey, wait a minute, that's public cloud. Well, these are off-site private clouds where you rent specific hardware for your environment. And we do have Fast Tracks running. I believe we have a case study with Boyd Telecom, Hitachi has written. And so we have these service providers that are running Microsoft Fast Track solutions. And then what you see in the middle there, in the upper middle, that's where Fast Track sits. These are pre-validated solutions ready for you to implement. Now, there's a lot of writing up here. And so I'm not what I term an MCR. I used to be an MCT, a Microsoft Certified Trainer. We used to call people MCRs every now and then, who would sit, and they were Microsoft Certified Reader, and they would look at their in the training session for the MCSE, and they would read the slides. I don't do that. In fact, I rarely look at my slides anymore. So I'm not going to read this off. But what I do want to tell you is Fast Track has a rich history. We started about 18 months ago. Actually here at Tech Ed EMEA in November of 2010. And we, in our first version, we were using Windows Server 2008 R2 and System Center 2008. That was the first version of the Fast Track program. Again, as we talked before, called Hyper-V Fast Track. Last year, about August, we iterated the program. We created just a new version of it, just a tiny one, a little update we called 1.1. Why that? Is we got a lot of feedback from customers and from our partners that said, we want to do smaller solutions. And, oh, by the way, we want to co-locate our management. You know, before we were saying you have to have two physical management nodes or servers. That's it. You have to have two physical ones. And the partners and the customer said, well, why can't we put all our management in VMs and co-locate it with the environment? We're going, well, that's actually a good point. Let's do it. So that's what we did with 1.1 is we brought forward that the idea that we could co-locate the management. So that's all 1.1. Now, just recently, we released internally what we call version 2. Version 2 upgraded the entire management stack to System Center 2012. We did that at MMS in April. We launched on day one with 8 partners ready to go. And it's been just a great product, and we're looking forward to what I'll call internally at Microsoft version 3. Guess what? Windows Server 2012 is around the corner, and yes, we will have a fast-track program built all around this. So that's kind of the history of the fast-track program. To start kind of here on the box here on the left, fast-track is a widely a widely accepted and adopted program. As you can see, we have 9 partners there who are part of this program. They all work directly with Microsoft, directly with Brian and team, to create these solutions. It takes a few months of work for us to get these done. It takes us to settle on a reference architecture document, a piece of paper, and it goes back several iterations between the partner and Microsoft. It's not just here. They give it to us, and we say, check mark, you're good. No, we iterate that document many, many times. Once that's accepted, once we sign off and say, this satisfies the requirements of what private cloud is at Microsoft, the partner then builds that environment out, physically builds it, and creates a deployment document of how would I reproduce this? It's not just, hey, okay, we can build it, send it out the door, ship it, we're good. No, we require with the program to have a deployment doc so that you can reproduce the results. And once both of those things have been done, Microsoft then goes and validates that we can actually reproduce the entire environment. This is a validated solution. It's not a one-off that we throw in a lab and say, yep, went, now ship. We actually prove that it can be done, and when it gets to you, it's ready to go. Now, the center area here, kind of, I hit 3 points in this one. The first one is, again, we have a broad choice here. My bet is, and I actually did this here a while back, I was sitting in a room full of about 7 customers, and I put $20 on the table and said, I want to know who your preferred vendor is, your preferred hardware vendor. And they went around the room, and I said, if one of you had hit a vendor that I don't have in Fast Track, you would have gotten the 20. No one did. I have got a rich ecosystem here ready to go. Licensing is simplified for you. With most of you who are looking at these Fast Tracks probably have an enterprise agreement. Through ECI, we have an easy way to get you there. ECI Data Center, and you have unlimited licenses around the use of VMs when you use the ECI Data Center. Real simple licensing. Again, if you've already got an enterprise agreement, no need to double purchase. You don't have to order that pre-installed with the OEM software. You can use your existing licenses. It's quick, easy, and inexpensive that way. And I've already talked about that last one, the validation. And then we've got a couple, and I've had people say, well, why do you include Microsoft up there in your case studies? You know, you're Microsoft, of course. Well, one of the messages I like to tell on this slide is that not only do we have customers using this, but Microsoft uses it ourselves. This is not something we throw out and we go, okay, we don't believe in using our own stuff. Well, you know, because, well, hey, you know, it's this fringe stuff we don't use. No, we actually do use this. This case study is they actually were very conservative with that 40,000 number. At Microsoft Management Summit in Las Vegas earlier this year in April, the VS3, similar to the one that's downstairs in the HP kiosk or area, serviced all of the hands-on labs that we ran at that event. Now, 40,000 isn't actually the true number. It was about 52,000 and some change that we did in a 4-day period. VMs or create and store. Now, for me, that's pretty impressive to begin with. But when I was talking with the Hands-On Labs folks, the number was even more impressive when you considered the Hands-On Lab was 100 servers, 10 VMs per server, so 1,000 systems across this. And they were reproducing this environment in under 10 minutes because that was the passing time between one session ending and the next one beginning. They were actually doing it in about 8. For me, that was pretty impressive. And so that's one reason I put this up here, is it's not just something that Microsoft says, we'll push it out to our customers. We also use it ourselves, and we prove it ourselves. So getting just into the high-level architecture of FastTrack, before we hand it over to Brian, my scary smart compatriot here, he's the one who's going to get into the more detail and technical. We have, as I said, compute, network, and storage. Nothing scary there. The storage guys, the only things down here scary that, from my experience, is that storage usually doesn't talk to the compute guys in most IT departments. The compute doesn't talk to network, network usually doesn't talk to anybody. But, that's just my experience. It sits on top of server and Hyper-V, System Center, and then that part, the one at the top, the partner software technology, is the one I always like to talk about, because that's where our partners really extend the solutions. They put in PowerShell and orchestration to make what could be just a great solution even better. So they automate things like self-healing. They automate different tasks to make it easier for you. I think, I wish I had the number off the top of my head. I was going to use NetApp, for example. NetApp does a fantastic job of creating PowerShell scripts. For the previous version, 1.1, I spoke at their conference, NetApp Insights, last year. And when I started the week, they had 450 automation scripts. When I actually spoke on Thursday, they had 750, so I had to change my speech a little bit. And I'd like to go down the side here. Most of these are NIST definitions of what private cloud is. Pooled resources, elastic. This is truly an elastic environment. You need more compute, slam in a server. You need more drive space, put in a drive. You don't have to buy a brand new fast track to make it bigger. Just add more resources, you're good to go. Predictable, usage-based. I always stop at usage-based because I have a story I love to tell there. Is it's not often a customer surprises me. I talk to them all the time, and so you get used to the little song and dance you do. But I was talking to the customer and saying, hey, we got usage-based. You can do all your charge back to, if your legal department's using too much at the end of the, or your HR department, and you can have this multi-tenant, so you can really, put prices around, what you're doing. And I had this VP look at me and go, "We don't care." Oh, eh? Okay, that's a new one on me. What do you mean you don't care? Says, well, we do want to know how much our environment's being utilized. We really don't care to track a number across the top of a spreadsheet to find out how much to charge HR, which is a fictitious number. All it's going to do is transfer on a balance sheet. There's no real money. And I'm going, oh, that's kind of interesting. Never really thought of it that way. So while it does use the space, it needs to do usage-based for your specific environment. And that's where it comes back to business before technology. Make sure that this solution is doing something that save you money or make you money. And with that, I do want to turn this over to, again, the scary smart guy in the room, Brian Cerasi.
Thanks, Mike. Good afternoon. Thank you. Unfortunately, the scary smart guy couldn't make it today, so you have me instead. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm Brian Cerasi. I'm a senior program manager. I've been with Microsoft not quite as long as Mike, but I've been there for about 12 years. I've been on the virtualization team pretty much as long as we've had virtualization. So I was part of the first release of the virtual PC product from Microsoft, the virtual server product, Hyper-V version 1 in Windows Server 2008, Hyper-V version 2 in Windows Server 2008 R2, and as well as the upcoming Hyper-V version 3 that's coming in Windows Server 8. For the last several years, I've been working pretty exclusively on Private Cloud FastTrack and overseeing all the technical aspects of that program. And I was here, again, back in 2010 when we launched FastTrack version 1. So what we're going to do over the next 20 to 30 minutes is talk about some of the technical aspects of what FastTrack is. How have we derived our technical specifications? And what is the process that we engage with our OEMs and our partners to deliver these solutions? So as Mike mentioned, our key components really are around compute, network, storage, and management. And as Mike hit pretty well on, this is really an end-to-end integrated solution. When we look at Hyper-V, we have our best patterns and practices. When we look at the system center team from the product group, they have their best patterns and practices. And then we have the OEMs who not only create hardware, but also create software, and they have their design guidance as well. This is not a siloed solution. This is all of those components working together to deliver a single private cloud environment. And as Mike mentioned, it's complete end-to-end validated. So the first thing that we do is we create, as Mike said, what we refer to as our reference architecture guide. So this is Microsoft's way of doing things. This is the best patterns and practices for the Microsoft server and system center management technology. But as part of that guide, and this guide is over 300 pages in size, we have validation criteria and requirements that we put on to our hardware partners. So we talk about things about performance, about scalability, about disaster recovery, about reporting and management. And there's a lot of different ways to basically accomplish some of these. So we try to make it technology agnostic. We don't say that you must use a fiber channel card and it must be configured exactly like this. We talk about the performance requirements, the scale requirements, the high availability requirements. And then we work closely with our partners to understand how they best can accomplish those goals using the hardware that they have and their special technology that they bring to the table. So when we, where do we derive our architecture? Where do we derive our best practices? And we actually pull this from multiple different sources. So as I mentioned, I'm part of the Windows Server organization. We get it from the product group of Windows Server and Hyper-V. We go to the product group of System Center, and we work with the Virtual Machine Manager group and the Operations Manager and the Orchestrator. But we actually go farther than that. In some regard, that's a bit academic. That's in theory how these technologies are supposed to work. But there's two other resources we rely upon heavily. Number one is MCS, Microsoft Consulting Services. And MCS, this is actually their DDC reference model for basically management, operations, service delivery, infrastructure, software, and platform. So these are all the different components and aspects that we must and that we do adhere to and drive to in FastTrack. Now, these are the guys out in the field. So they take the theoretical from the product group, and they're the ones actually figuring out how to properly scale it. How big does the database need to be for Operations Manager? How do we properly do high availability for the database of Service Manager, for example? So now we've gone from theoretical to actual practical implementation, and we grab that information when we're designing our reference architecture. And then the other group that we work heavily with, it was what was called the OneTap program. So this is the technical adoption program. This was run out of the product group where basically as we were bringing System Center 2012 to market, we engaged early on with a handful of customers and partners around the world. And it was a multi-million dollar TAP program. And for the first time ever, it wasn't just the Operations Manager TAP or the Service Manager TAP. It was a private cloud TAP program where we're using all the components combined at a customer site and documenting basically how the best possible model is derived and how do we bring that to the table. So our core components are working with the product groups, working with the MCS folks in the field doing this real time, and working through the TAP program and getting early feedback about how the proper configuration should look. This is an example. This is actually our breakout of the different System Center components that make up System Center 2012 and the different private cloud attributes that they deliver. So when we look down the list, we talk about bare metal deployment, things like host patching, monitoring of the fabric, capacity reporting, and then the service provider. This is things like lifecycle management, application and service level agreement management. These are all the different System Center components that meet all our Fast Track criteria and how we deliver it in Fast Track. Now, as Mike mentioned, this is kind of an exciting announcement. When we first went down Fast Track, a lot of this documentation, a lot of this reference architecture was kind of kept in-house. We developed it as Microsoft. Even our build guides, we developed in-house. We worked closely with our partners, and then what did we deliver? We delivered the Fast Track implementation, a physical environment that you can purchase. As Mike mentioned, we are now taking all our documentation and we're going to publish it publicly as well. So again, if you want to get deeper to understand some of the design considerations, if you are the do-it-yourselfer and you say, I like Fast Track, but I want to understand what the decisions were made, what the validation criteria is, you will be able to look at that guidance, and that's going to be on the web in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks. And this is an example. So when we, again, go to our OEMs and go to our hardware partners, we have minimum level of requirements they must meet. And again, this is about performance. This is about network throughput. This is about SAN IOP rate. This is making sure that these environments scale. And we use a model of small, medium, and large virtual machines, which is based on the memory utilization, the CPU utilization, and the network throughput, as well as disk requirements. And we basically say, this size of solution should be able to handle these many small VMs, these many large VMs, and these many super large VMs. And so for an example here, we talk about the minimum number of requirements, we talk about the RAM type, and something important to understand is this is not the entry-level, really cheap commodity servers and hardware. When you look at some, especially some public cloud environments, the workloads that they are hosting are what are we called stateless. Basically, if the workload goes down, no big deal. It's just going to start up on another server and keep going. But in our private cloud environment, we're anticipating all types of workloads, including stateful workloads, things like SQL, Exchange, SharePoint, SAP. So when we're looking at it, one of our key criteria is high availability. All of our components, software, networking, compute, storage, are all redundant. So when we're looking at these servers, they all obviously have very simple things like dual power. They all have multi-path for the network and multi-path for the storage coming out of the server. They're all redundant not only from a server hardware component, but across all servers. So, you know, in a multi-node cluster environment as well. So when we look at it, we have our minimum requirements around storage as well. The array must have enough capacity to support the desired customer workloads. And again, when you start digging into the Fast Track solutions, we talk about not only the size of the solution, how many compute nodes it is, and we have solutions as small as 4 and 6 and as large as 32 and beyond, but we also talk about how many virtual machines can be consolidated in that solution. And then networking, we go into a lot of details around, again, the networking requirements, not only for the workloads, but also for all the different networking components of the infrastructure itself, whether it be the management networking components, the clustering networking components, and so on. So we talk specifically around if the servers are using 1 gigabit Ethernet, if they're using 10 gigabit Ethernet, how it should be configured, and how it should be isolated. So here's an example as well, and Mike talked about the fact that in version 1.1, and now also in version 2, we have two different basically design sizes. For our smaller solutions, it does make sense to actually co-locate your management workloads on the same hosts that are running your traditional workloads or your compute workloads. Where originally we'd have a completely separate management infrastructure, separate servers connected to, you know, isolated switches and things of that nature. And that makes sense from a scale perspective when you're going larger. But as we scale down into these smaller solutions around 4, 6, 8 compute nodes, it makes sense to actually consolidate your management workloads and your regular compute workloads on the same hosts. So we actually have two different design criteria. And we also go into the details of talking about all the different managed components and where they should sit as well. This is just an example. Again, there's multiple ways to kind of skin the cat, if you want to use that term, or multiple ways to accomplish the same thing. We talk about fiber channel over Ethernet. We talked about converged networking and storage. We go into details about network teaming. And we also go into details about fiber channel and separating your traditional fiber channel from your Ethernet. We also have requirements in FastTrack as it stands today around iSCSI. Again, we're anticipating that the workloads that are being hosted on this solution can be traditional workloads as well, such as SQL and Exchange. And these workloads do have components like high availability built-in box for themselves. So you can actually guest cluster SQL databases inside of the private cloud environment that is also host clustered. In that regard, we do require and have requirements upon iSCSI, because that's how we do guest clustering with Windows Server 2008 R2 today. So in all our partners, we work with them to identify how we're going to persist iSCSI into the virtual machine environment. Some of them choose to do a separate fiber channel and a separate iSCSI environment. Some of them choose to use an iSCSI to fiber channel bridge. Again, there's multiple ways to make this solution work, and we work with each individual OEM to identify the best way to accomplish that. When it comes down to storage, again, we have different design requirements. Just high level, we talk about breaking up the storage into multiple components for your different storage needs. So for example, we'll make a clustered shared volume for the operating systems, a second one specifically for your random rewrite IO needs, which would be your database management workloads. The third volume is traditionally for VM logging. The fourth volume is for virtual machine staging and workload actions such as physical to virtual or virtual to virtual when you're bringing workloads into your environment. And the fifth clustered shared volume is around the VM configuration files. So we actually have different design requirements if you are breaking out your SAN into multiple clustered volumes, or for all practical reasons, multiple LUNs. How do you best accomplish that? And what are the design considerations you must take into account? We also talk about if you're going to create a large cluster shared volume, a single volume, what you must meet as far as design requirements as well. And again, this is breaking out the different virtual machine components. We talk about the options and the performance requirements if you're going to host everything on a single volume, opposed if you're going to break out the virtual machine components into separate volumes as well. And the last component, and we put a lot of work into this as well, we need to make sure that the management aspects of FastTrack are highly available and are always up. Now, when you look at the different components that make up System Center, the way that they handle high availability really varies. Some System Center components have high availability built in natively. Some use guest clustering. Some, the database is highly available through clustering. So we've actually gone one by one and identified for the different scale sizes of FastTrack, how do you break apart your management databases to ensure that they're not only performant, but they're also highly available. And so that's what you're seeing here. You're seeing the management databases for guest clustering, native application high availability, and host clustering as well. And we break those all out very specifically. So as Mike mentioned, the key part of our program here is our partners. It is an integrated end-to-end solution. And we've worked with basically all of the major hardware manufacturers, including Cisco, Dell, EMC, Fujitsu, HP, Hitachi, NEC, and NetApp. We do have a version 1 solution with IBM as well. We don't currently have a version 2 solution with IBM. But our goal is, when you look at some competing solutions in market, they tend to be very limited as to what partners you can engage with. And a lot of our customers says, I'm already an HP shop, or I'm already really loyal to EMC. I want to work. Do you have a solution that incorporates EMC storage technology or HP server technology? And the answer here is yes. We're going to go through very briefly all the solutions that are available today on FastTrack version 2, which again is based on Windows Server 2008 R2 and System Center 2012. Now, we're going through these just alphabetical, and I'll only take a minute or two per solution. But our first one was from Cisco and EMC. This is a solution that scales from 8 to 16 nodes. And that's also a key here. FastTrack isn't just one size fits all. With all of our partners, we work to make sure it scales. So when you want to buy a FastTrack solution, you can start with the smaller configuration, which may have less compute nodes or less storage or less memory. And as your environment grows, you can add more nodes and more memory and more compute capacity. So the first one here from Cisco and EMC, it's based on their Nexus Converged SAN networking technology, so it's converged networking. They have full integration, again, as Mike mentioned, using PowerShell, Operations Manager, and Virtual Machine Manager into our management components. We work to make sure that Pro Packs and Management Packs are fully vetted and fully created for these solutions. Again, it's not just Microsoft managing the Microsoft components and the hardware managing their own components. It's an integrated stack. So our management technology is looking across all components, software and physical, in the environment. Second solution is from Dell. Dell, this is actually their brand new one, their vSTART 1000 solution. This is based on Open Management Pro. This is their PowerEdge M620 Blade servers. They're using Compellent Series 40 storage. Again, it scales from around 6 to around 16 nodes. And it leverages, obviously, the Microsoft virtualization stack and the management stack as well, and they've also integrated their own Pro and own operations management packs. From Hitachi, we have their FastTrack solution. It's configured, again, from 8 to 16 nodes, optimized, obviously, for System Center 2012. It is an orderable package, so really it's delivered as a complete end-to-end unit. And that's actually an important point to call out. When you look at the different solutions and the way you engage with these partners, it varies a little bit. Some of them really will deliver it as almost an appliance. Here's your solution. Plug it in, turn it on, and go. Some also have options to engage with their services organization to do customization to make sure that the solution meets your specific needs. So as Mike mentioned, you might already have an existing Active Directory infrastructure. You might already have some storage that you want to integrate into. So most of the solutions for our different partners have options to engage with them to take FastTrack as the starting point and to make slight modifications to meet your specific needs. HP, we have several solutions from HP. This is the VS1. They have the VS1, VS2, and VS3. As Mike mentioned, the VS3 is actually an HP booth, and you can see on the show floor today. The VS1, 2, and 3 kind of grow from a capacity perspective as you work your way up. The VS1 is based on rack mount servers, 96 cores, and a total maximum of 1.5 terabytes across all servers. When you move up to the VS2, now we've moved into blade servers, a total of 336 cores with almost 11 terabytes of memory. This is using their ProLiant BL460s and their A-type series switches. And then the final one is the VS3, a total across the entire infrastructure, 512 cores with 16.4 terabytes of memory. This is using the ProLiant Generation 8 servers, which are blade servers, and using their HP 3PAR storage device as well. We also have a solution that was led by EMC that includes both Brocade and HP technology based on the VNX 5300 storage array, SAN Connect dual Brocade 8000 cards, as well as their networking dual Brocade 8000 networking switches based on the DL380s. And then we also have NetApp, and NetApp is also exhibiting their solution in their booth down on the show floor as well. It is branded as FlexPod with Microsoft Private Cloud. Here's basically a high-level physical architecture of their solution. I do encourage you to go take a look at it in the environment. And then NetApp also has a second one that is focused specifically on VDI environments. And they're actually able, in this environment, they can demonstrate deploying 2,000 VDI desktops in about 5 minutes, approximately. So this is actually working alongside with Citrix Xen Desktop. And again, this is our first solution that is targeted specifically for VDI environments. And then we have a Fujitsu solution as well. This is based on their Primergy servers and their Eternus storage. And then NEC as well. We have NEC solution, and they're actively engaged with us on building a future solution as well. So do take a look at the NEC solution. So the key here, I wanted to go just briefly over it, and we do have several representatives from the different partners. So at the very end, when we take questions and answers, I do encourage you to come on up, and we can actually engage with those people to ask more questions specifically about their solution. Do go down to their booth as well. We have one-pagers about the solution, and they can also tell you about how to engage to find out more information and even potentially do things like proof of concepts for their solutions. So the key thing here is we've engaged with virtually all major hardware manufacturers in the world. When you have different partners and you're loyal to one particular hardware vendor, the likelihood is we're going to have a solution. And these solutions really have been based on their best of breed, their best technology, their best way of accomplishing things. It includes their special technology, which sets their solution apart from everyone else. So do and take a closer look. Now I want to switch gears a little bit. And when we think about the progression of deploying private cloud, the first thing is understanding, yes, I like the attributes of private cloud. I like the elasticity. I like the scalability. I like the self-service aspects. But how do I get to the private cloud? So I want to talk about two products coming out of Microsoft, and specifically the Solution Accelerator team. These products are free, and how they can be used to accelerate you onto a private cloud solution like FastTrack. And the first one is the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Tool, also referred to as MAP. So this tool does a couple things. It's been around for several years now. It's actually in version number 7. And what it does is assess your environment and help you plan to move forward to a new environment. So it's done things like help people migrate to Windows 7. But in our world, it also helps people get onto virtualization and specifically get onto a private cloud environment. So the first component that it does is assess your entire environment. And it is an agentless application, so you don't have to install anything on your existing workloads. But what it will do over the course of hours, days, and several, oftentimes people will actually run it for weeks, it will watch all the workloads in your environment, both physical and virtual, and now with 7.0 version, both Windows and Linux, and it will work to identify all of the resource utilization. It identifies when the peaks for that workload is, when it tends to slow down, how much memory utilization, how much CPU utilization, how much disk. So the first thing it does is identify in your existing environment what do you have and what are the workload characteristics. And then the second thing it does is maps it to a FastTrack solution to say, if you buy this FastTrack solution, for example, from Dell, how will my workloads fit? So let's actually take a look and see what this looks like. So this is the tool itself, and when we go down to Microsoft Private Cloud FastTrack, what I can do is go ahead and click off Microsoft Private Cloud FastTrack Wizard. Now the first thing it brings up, now realize this is assuming that we've already done the analysis. We've already done the assessment of my environment. Now I'm going to plan to move forward. So this is just, we've included a few examples here, examples of different FastTrack solutions. These examples are just generic. But if I go into them, I can say Cloud FastTrack 6 to 12 nodes. And what we have here is all the performance characteristics, both for a standard install and the maximum install. So as I explained before, the goal with a FastTrack solution isn't just one size. They're designed to grow from a memory CPU and from a compute node perspective. So what it's going to do is it's going to map it to the small solution and map it again to what if I maxed out the solution. So we can take a look, and for example, on the base configuration, it has 6 nodes. The total number of IOPS is 25,000. The total amount of storage is 250 terabytes, and the total network throughput is 20 gigabits per second. Here's the processor models. And if I keep scrolling down, you'll see we now here have the exact same information, but this is for the max configuration if we're going to max out the environment. So now we're up to 12 nodes, a total of 75,000 IOPS, total of 1,000 terabytes of storage, and network throughput of 10 gigabits. So we'll go ahead and select that solution. Now you can also say, let's have a little buffer here. Don't use 100% of the processor, or don't use 100% of the memory across the infrastructure. If you want to scale it down a little bit to give yourself a little bit of buffer, for the purposes of the demo, we'll just leave it all at 100%. And we're going to go ahead and pick up the workloads that we've already assessed. And here they are. So these are all the different computer names that we've identified in our environment. Here's the operating systems that they're running, and as I mentioned, version 7.0 now also assesses Linux operating systems. So if I sort by operating system, here you can see we have some Windows 7 Professional. Up here we have some CentOS and some Fedora. Towards the bottom we're going to see SUSE and Red Hat as well. We can also see the workloads that are running inside of the the machines, whether it's running SQL or IIS, or possibly it's running a line of business application. And under type, we're identifying whether it's virtual or whether it's physical. So again, we're looking at both physical boxes and virtual machines currently in your environment. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll check all of the boxes. So we're bringing in 378 different workloads into the tool. And if I click next, it says we're going to map it against this fast track infrastructure. And I'll go ahead and click finish. And it runs the assessment. It only takes about 5 to 10 seconds. It is completed. And here is a quick overview of what it's done. Talks about the number of Windows servers it's discovered, talks about your infrastructure. So if we look down, this is the base configuration, and it talks about your different hosts and how much utilization you're going to have across all those hosts once you consolidate these virtual machines. And so it's all this different information. And what's really interesting as well is if I click on Generate Report, this will actually create both an Excel document and a Word document that you can use as a proposal to talk about migrating into a fast track solution. So that's been created. And if I go down into, I want to go over here. So I'm going to go into the My Documents. That's where the reports are generated. And I look at Map. Look at demo, and let's see, we want today, so here's the Excel, and here's the one we just generated. And if I open up the Word document, it's a completely pre-populated document here that talks about the value proposition of Fast Track, as well as how your workloads basically fit onto the Fast Track solution. So here it is, Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track Planning Summary Report. It has the proper date. We go down, here's the table of contents. It talks about private cloud program description. It talks about the technologies used in this description. And then, of course, it gives you a full detailed report of the workloads that it discovered and what it's going to be doing from a consolidation perspective. So here's a chart talking about before consolidation, after consolidation using Fast Track. It goes into all the details as well. So it gives you all the raw data in an Excel spreadsheet. It also dumps it into this nice template form that can be used as a proposal as well. This version 7 is currently past beta. It's getting close to release. It's available on the web, so if you haven't already taken a look, I encourage you to do so. And then the second thing that I wanted to look at is also from the Solution Accelerator team. This is something that we've just started talking about recently. It's the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. So people say, okay, I like Fast Track, and okay, I understand my existing workloads and how they'll fit on Fast Track. How do I get them there? And if I'm already on a VMware environment, for example, how do I migrate to Microsoft Hyper-V and Private Cloud Fast Track? Well, we do have tools. For example, using System Center Virtual Machine Manager, we do have virtual-to-virtual migration that will allow you to migrate your virtual machines from VMware into Hyper-V. But now we've created a completely free, completely lightweight tool that doesn't require System Center, doesn't require any sort of database. It's a very small tool and very simple to use. So I want to do a quick demonstration of that as well. So we'll flip back over. And we'll connect into our box here. Oops, wrong one. So here's the tool right here, Microsoft Solution Accelerator. And before you begin, this talks about the different workloads that it can migrate. As you can see, it can migrate Windows Server 2003, Service Pack 2, 2008 virtual machines, 2008 R2, as well as Windows 7 and Windows Vista virtual machines. So I'll go ahead and click Next. Now right here, all we're asking for is what is the IP of your ESX server. So I'm going to go ahead and type it in, and we're 10. So we're actually connecting to a live active ESX server. Give it your normal credentials for whatever you would use to log in. It's validating the credentials. And then what it's going to do is look at the different virtual machines currently running on the server. Getting a list of virtual machines. There we go. So on this particular ESX server, we have three virtual machines. The first two, there's a little information bullet. This is just saying that these virtual machines are currently powered off. This one here is running. This is Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1. And so the nice thing here is we can actually do a migration while the virtual machine is running with no interruption to that machine. So if you wanted to migrate, or you wanted to create basically a clone and bring it into Hyper-V while the virtual machine is still running on the ESX environment, you can do that. There's no reason to shut it down. Now, the important thing that this tool does is it's not just a VHD conversion. It's not just taking the disk. It's taking everything. It's doing the configuration and bringing it into Hyper-V. It's doing conversion of the virtual hard disk to our VHD format. It's also doing the fix-ups inside of the virtual machine. So we inject our integration components. We basically do all the migration of what's happening in the virtual machine to run on our Hyper-V environment as well. And it all does it automatically. So I'm going to go ahead and select this virtual machine. Click Next, and it's asking, I need to log into this virtual machine to do the fix-ups inside of it. What user account do you want me to use? I'll go ahead. I do have admin privileges on that particular virtual machine, so I'll simply use my Windows user account. And then it asks you, what do you want the state of the source of virtual machine to be? Do you want to turn off the virtual machine on ESX, and do you want to turn on the virtual machine once it's in Hyper-V? To be safe, we're just going to say, leave the virtual machine on in ESX, and we're going to keep bringing in an off state in Hyper-V. So we're going to go ahead. Now, I want to know a temporary directory, because it's going to copy over the virtual machine of hard disk while it's running and do the fix-ups. So it's asking, where do you want me to put this virtual hard disks? We'll go ahead and put it on the R drive. Now it wants to know, where do you want me to place the Hyper-V host, or where do you want to, what host do you want to place this virtual machine on? And so my Hyper-V host is called VMDemo N1. And then where do you want the hard disk to be placed? I want it to be on that host, and I want to be put in the directory called virtual machines, VMS. Also, do you want to create a fixed size virtual hard disk or a dynamically expanding virtual hard disk? We'll go ahead and do dynamically expanding. Click Next. Here's your summary. It does give us some warnings. It talks about the fact that the virtual machine video memory is greater on the VM host, and we're going to bring it down to 4 megabytes on the converted virtual machine, and it also says currently the virtual machine has an attached floppy, and we're going to go ahead and detach the floppy. And then we go ahead and click Finish. And this virtual machine, you can see it walks through and it tells you all the processes it's taking. It's preparing source virtual machine, creating the snapshot of the source virtual machine. So it's just that simple. So we're already using the map tool. You can assess your current environment, and using the migration tool, which is a completely free and standalone product with no requirements on System Center or any other component, you can do the migration real time as well. So that's going to take a little while. So we'll switch back. And the other thing I wanted to mention, this is a partner of ours that we've been working with. This is RES and their solution called Baseline Desktop Analyzer. So they actually have a booth down on the showroom floor, and I encourage you to visit them as well. Similar to the map tool, they do assessment and planning as well. But one of their key attributes that they focus on is identifying the utilization of the different applications in the virtual machine as well. So when you're migrating over, or if you're migrating into a VDI environment, are migrating into an application virtualization environment, and you see a desktop, for example, and you say it's got 15 different applications on that desktop, which applications are the most important ones? Which one should I migrate into an application virtualized environment, and which one should I leave for a later date? And this tool by RES, Baseline Desktop and Analyzer, does exactly that. They try to give you that granular detail as to not only what workloads are highly utilized, what virtual machines, but also the applications in those virtual machines. So here's just some more information. It's actually an Azure-based service. So that actually the analyzer is running in Azure, and you're pointing it to your environment. It helps with analyzing private cloud readiness, application virtualization, or app V readiness. It also can help with Windows 7, Citrix Xen app rollouts, VDI deployments, and help you analyze your existing cloud usage. So do take a look. I encourage you. We actually have a representation here in the room. So afterwards, if you want more information, we'll have a gentleman up here that you can speak to, Sean. And then otherwise, you can also go down and visit with them on the showroom floor. So with that, I actually want to hand it back to Mike. So that was just an overview of our solutions and some of the architectural principles that we adhere to with FastTrack. Mike will carry us the rest of the way home. Again, our guidance for the do-it-yourselfer is going to be available in several weeks, and you can also engage with us or the OEM partner to learn more about the specific FastTrack offerings that they have. So thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Brian. All right, so I'm to the wrap-up section of the agenda we looked at here about an hour ago. So, as I mentioned, ex-high school teacher, I really wanted to just kind of recap what we've talked about and then welcome anyone who would like to talk to us. We have, again, some of the partners in the room that will be joining us up here afterwards, and please don't hesitate to come up and talk to us. But let me just go, so the value proposition of FastTrack, first of all, we've talked about it. We've got a great set of partners, and it's my bet in the group of partners we have a solution that will solve a business problem for you. The licensing is simplified for you. Is if you already have an EA agreement or an enterprise agreement, ECI will be a truing up, is what it's called, will be a truing up exercise at the end of your year. If you don't have an enterprise agreement, this is a real easy way to choose from a limited number of packages that allow you flexibility in your solution. And then, as both Brian and I have hit on, the validation process is key to the FastTrack program. Is we really work hard to make sure when this solution shows up on your doorstep that Microsoft and the partner have worked together to do an entire solution. It isn't your storage people went out and said, this is the storage I want. And then your networking said, well, we're doing this. And this is an entire solution that Microsoft and the partners have worked together to give you a faster time to solution. Get that thing up and running quicker in your environment so it solves your business needs. So back to the fast facts, real quickly. Combination of compute, network, and storage. We slap an OS on there, we got some virtualization, which is all important, and we follow the NIST definitions, and we do have management. And hence why my first slide, I talked to it, and I'll talk to it now. It's called the Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track Program and not the Hyper-V where we started. These are validated designs, and it's a reference implementation. It's a hardware solution ready to integrate in your environment. So there's additional information up here, hands-on labs, where you can get more information down on the showroom floor. I encourage you to seek out the Fast Track vendors, the ones we've talked about, HP and Dell are obviously here, EMC, NetApp, RES is on the showroom floor, Hitachi's there. I encourage you to seek out and talk to these folks about this program. And last but not least, let's let the build out go. This is a slide that for you, those of you who have been in the sessions all week, you've seen this all week, so I'm not going to speak to that. And please do submit your evals. These are important to us. And I'll end with one more story, and then I'll let you guys go, is that as a high school teacher, I did something incredibly brave or incredibly foolish. I'm not exactly sure which. I did actually do evaluations. I allowed my high school students, these are 15, 16, 17-year-old young men and young ladies, to evaluate me as a high school teacher. And I said, you can tell me in this, and it's anonymous, Mr. Truett sucks. I'm okay with that. I can, you're not going to hurt my ego. But what I do ask is, tell me how to improve. That is the key for me, is I always want to do better. I want to make this a value of your time. You spent an hour and 15 minutes with me today. I want to make sure that's a valuable use of your time. So please do submit the evals. If you had a good time, let me know. We always like good evaluations, but we also want to know how we can be better. With that, I want to thank you for your time. Please, I welcome you to come up and talk to us, and thank you again for attending the session.